This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to the Thursday Sport Show on University Radio Nottingham, your place to find out all about Nottingham sport. A bit later on the show, I'm going to be joined by Joe and Callum as we take you through this week's Buck results and maybe touch on a bit of Nottingham Forest and Notts County's upcoming games. But for now, I'm very happy to say I'm joined with the Athletics Club's Social Secretary, Joe Bryan. Joe, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I know you've got, you're going to training straight after this, so thanks for coming in.
Yeah, commitment to the cause.
Yes, it is. And what kind of training have you got today? Is it intense one, or is it kind of
No, today's just a recovery run, 5 miles round Wollaton and campus.
Just the 5 miles?
Just 5 miles, at a light, reasonable pace, followed by circuits. But it's a recovery day.
So, in terms of the athletics, obviously it's split into kind of cross-country in the winter kind of thing and athletics more in the summer. What kind of competitions have you got on at the moment for the Athletic Club?
Well, it depends if you're in the more distant side or the sort of sprinting side. At the moment, the distant side, we're doing the cross-countries because it's winter, and we're in the North Midlands Cross-Country League. And then for more sprints, they're having a meet coming up in Manchester, which is a varsity. And then in the summers, we've got the Bucks indoors and Bucks outdoors for them.
Yeah, definitely. And when you get, obviously you've got Bucks as well, I think, in February, is it start?
Yeah, February the 2nd, I think it is, Bucks Cross Country, which is up in Edinburgh this year.
Wow, every week, or is it just one big event?
It's just one big event. It goes over a weekend. And yeah, one-time thing every year.
Fair. So is there, when up and coming before those kind of big events, how intense are we talking on this training? Are we no nights out for you, is it?
Well, as a social secretary, I can't say that I don't go no nights out, but definitely some of our club do enact that. I know some person that hasn't drank for 2.5 months leading up to the Bucks Duathlon this weekend.
Wow, about 2.5 months, can't do 2.5 days.
Oh, it's tricky, but some people are very committed, which I admire.
So in terms of these kind of committed members, what are kind of the highest kind of stand of athletes you've got in the club? Any future Olympians have we got on our hands?
Well, we have Hayley Mills on the sprint side, who is very talented, competed in like country level and stuff like that. On the distance side, we have got a number of very good athletes who are hitting 90-mile weeks, jogging up to 90 miles a week. I expect them to go far. I don't know about Olympian standard, but you never know.
Yeah, I definitely saw Hayley Mills during when I watched the Varsity Athletics, and it's quite ridiculous. Like,
especially against that sort of field, yeah. She does dominate a little bit.
But yeah, I think I saw something on your, obviously, the Athletics Club runs their own, obviously, Facebook and Twitter accounts. Mm-hmm. I saw that she got Amateur Sports Person of the Year from something in Nottingham.
Yeah, she's off to awards evenings every other night, I think. Lots of recognition at the moment.
Well deserved for that. And it's obviously split between cross-country athletics. You are part of the cross-country side of things.
Yep, I'm on the distance side.
What is it like for you? Obviously, you've got to keep fit to run these long distances, but you also go to university, you go on the nights out. I've seen you on a night out. how do you kind of balance that difference?
A lot of the training that we do is in the evenings to make sure that you can obviously go to university during the day. And then on the Wednesdays when it's sports afternoons, we train then. It's usually quite easy to balance, really, because when I get home from a day at university, I'm not really going to do that much work, so I might as well just go train in the evening. And then it's quite nice to have like an escape from the work and stuff like that.
Yeah, and obviously, speaking of kind of escapes, do you have any other kind of sports you get going to just to kind of avoid just too much running? Do you anything you enjoy it?
For sure. Very passionate about IMS football with the Geography Football Team, JogSock_FC on Twitter. Give it a follow. Currently unbeaten. I don't know if you know this well, but
I play in the team, so I do know it.
Oh, wow. What a coincidence.
Yeah, I forgot. I knew you.
I think I saw you from the other centre-back position maybe, like, on a couple of games. But yeah, top of the league, road to Ningbo in the Tri Campus Games. That's what we're going for.
Yeah, and for you playing football, obviously cross-country, used to running very long distances, as we know, by just a little 5 mile casual jog. What's it like for you actually playing in the games? Is it different, or do you just not get tired?
It definitely helps, but it is very different. Like, I feel like it's, I think if I went technical here, it's the slow twitch muscles and the fast twitch for sprinting, and whereas in the distance side you have the slow twitch. So it definitely, you do get tired, but over the 90 minutes, it might give you a slight edge maybe on the people that do not have such a level of fitness.
Yeah, definitely. And so going over to the athletic side, you kind of mentioned it before, you do take part in varsity athletics against Nottingham Trent.
I do.
In my first year, you had your own event for the athletics, which was worth 1 point, obviously. But last year, you were kind of made part of the Super Wednesday, which meant that your point went towards a lot of other different sports to get 1 point for the whole uni. What is it kind of the thoughts in the athletics kind of club about being moved from having their own event to being part of a whole super day?
We can sort of see why to begin with, because athletics isn't quite a spectator sport if you're not in it. Like, unlike the varsity rugby, lots of people go even if they don't like rugby, just for the event. But we're definitely trying to move it back to the more headline events on the one day event, because we have like a wide range of different disciplines competing throughout the day, and it is quite a spectacle, especially when uni have dominate as we do against Trent. So it is a good thing to watch.
Yeah, definitely. When we I watched it in first year, and you do see a very big difference between the kind of Trent athletes and the Uni of ones. But so obviously you kind of expect to go and win it every year, but would you say it's more of a kind of a celebration for the whole club for the year, and it's just a good day out for everyone involved?
Oh yeah, for sure. It gives people a chance to run sort of track distances that they might not get to do in Bucks. There's only a certain amount of scoring athletes, so it gives everyone a go out against a field that they can be competitive in, because everyone's sort of a similar level at the universities, and it allows all the wide range of people to go have a go and actually compete in a race, which is a lot of fun.
And obviously they have their mates or whoever come to watch them. That's obviously another motivation for them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, get the crowd going. It's a really good atmosphere, so it's all good.
Now obviously, like me, you're a very finely tuned athlete, Joe. But what about people maybe, haven't got as good fitness levels? How can they can they still get involved in the club? Have you kind of got days for them to come and join?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Anyone can get involved in the club. It's completely open. Like, when our training tonight, for example, we're doing 3 and 5 mile recovery runs, and within that we'll have a set pace for people who want to do it a bit slower, and then people who want to do it a bit more advanced paces. So everything we do, we try and cater for like the wide range. But then we also have an engage sort of sport where we do couch to 5k, which is bringing people that have never run before, as in sat on the couch, to finishing the course of them completing a full 5k race in quite good times, really.
Yeah, and how can you kind of, if anyone listening right now wants to kind of get involved with that, maybe they've been visiting the pub a bit too often, or whatever, takeaways, how can they kind of get in contact or whatever to kind of sign up for this?
Yeah, it's usually run on a Wednesday, I think, around 2 p.m. But get in contact via the socials, like the Instagram account or Twitter account, and then you'll be able to talk to our welfare and outreach committee members who run it, and they're a great laugh and we'll have a good time.
Okay, definitely. So if you're listening and you want to get involved there, head over to those socials right now. And obviously, Joe, you are the social sec, so we can't really end this without asking about the athletic socials. Go on, tell me how they what ones you've got organised, how they end up.
Well, they're huge, I can't lie. I'm not going to lie to you, they are huge. We try and make them as fun and as wide-ranging as possible. The other week we had one that was themed around the show Come Fly With Me, which was quite innovative, I felt. I saw a different social. This Friday, we have the biggest one of the year so far. It is the Endurance Games against the Triathlon Club and the Cycling Club, where we'll be competing in a range of activities, some containing alcohol, some not. But we intend to dominate over the Triathlon and Cycling Club. Putting that out there on the radio now, and if that doesn't happen, I will eat my own hat.
If you do not win that, I will be announcing it on next week's show.
No, please do, because I am confident in the athletics skills that we have, that we can dominate over these other clubs.
Yeah, and also another one I've kind of heard about is a running bar crawl.
Yes. Yeah, that's usually in the summer term when it's a bit warmer, because we get all the classic old school short shorts out and vests. And yeah, it's a bar crawl around Uni of Nottingham, run at quite a high pace, going around to the different bars. A lot of fun, yeah. We also do a beer mile in the summer term, which I don't know if you know, it's a mile, 400 metre lap of a track, down a beer, 400 metre lap of a track, down a beer, up to 1600 metres for the mile.
Wow, I mean, does that get a bit messy, that one?
It gets very messy, yeah. If it's not getting messy, then...
You've got to blame the socials.
Yeah, you're not really trying hard enough, I feel.
Okay, now, just before we end, Joe, what can you talk about you? When is your kind of next big event you've kind of got?
Well, in terms of athletics...
Yeah, athletics.
We've got the Leeds Cross Country Relays coming up the first weekend of December, which will be a good one. That's at Leeds Beckett, and it's a 3.1k course in like a relay fashion, which is always good fun, always very competitive. And then after that, we should be able to stay up in Leeds for make a weekend out of it, which should be fun.
Oh, he's always thinking about the social, isn't he?
You've got to always have any mind.
That's why he collected. But yeah, thank you very much, Joe, for coming in. We'll be putting up the full interview, if you missed the start of it, on our Facebook page, Your End Sport. And then after this quick break, we're going to be talking about Bucks with Joe and Callum. Welcome back to the Thursday Sport Show. I'm your host, Will Perkins. Before the break, we had Joe Bryan from the Athletics Club, but now we're moving on to all the clubs, basically, because it's this week's Bucks Roundup. Overall, a 61% win rate, which is up on last week, but still... not as high as we should be hoping for if we want to be getting in that top two yet again. What are your thoughts on the this week as a whole, Joe?
This week as a whole, I mean, you summed it up. It's definitely better than last week, but we were talking a few weeks ago we were getting in the 70s for win percentages, so it's obviously a bit down on that. But I think 61%, because it's wins, so it doesn't take into account draws, probably isn't too bad. In terms of getting in like the top five, but as you said, top two, you really need to be pushing those numbers up into the 70s, I think. And if you look down, well, when we look down the list, it's the sports that aren't doing as well. There's a pattern almost occurring there, which I guess you'd probably expect. Some teams are just naturally better than others. I mean, I may as well point out, you know, table tennis came away with 5 wins today, which was obviously incredible, and they absolutely smashed everyone in front of them. You know, teams like, although I did say usual suspects, tennis hasn't been doing, has been a bit up and down recently. But this week, only 2 losses out of 12 games, 11 games, and so 9 wins there. So that's a really good result for tennis, and they haven't been doing so well recently. So I'll point them out and say, give them a shout and say, yeah, you've done really well. Most notably, 3 wins in the cups for the men's, 4 wins in the cups for men, sorry, and 5 wins in the cups for the women, so you know, getting through to the later-ish round of the cup, which is always something good. You know, we want the trophies here at Nottingham.
Yeah, definitely. And Callum, obviously, kind of throughout most of the sports, especially the sports with a lot of teams playing, it was kind of the cup week. Do you think that had any impact on the kind of low percentage? Obviously,
it's going to change the dynamics of it because actually you also had a bunch of them where it was almost lopsided seeding wise. So, for example, when you had women's badminton losing, it was the women's fourth against Cambridge's first. Yeah, basketball, the 2 losses for the women's seconds and thirds were against the first and seconds from the respective sides they face. So it makes things look a lot better when you see, oh, a lot of these, it was us against a reasonable team's a reasonable university's like 3 or 4 higher choice team.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing, especially when in the cups, it's going to be tough because they'll be putting in their strongest teams to try and get as far in those tournaments as possible. We haven't got too much time this week to go into detail on every sport, but we're just going to kind of highlight a few of the key results. So we might start with Callum. What was your kind of standout sport or standout game of this week?
Yeah, so the standout for me, if you listen to the interview I did about a month or so back with the president of the American Football Society, one of the big things with that was they're adding a second team this year. And they had their first match ever this week against Chester First, and they won 26-6. So that's a pretty good start there, particularly considering how poorly the First have been doing. So getting off to a good start kind of helped.
Yeah, definitely, because compared to last year, the first not doing as strongly, but to have a second team in a sport like American football is pretty significant as a university, isn't it?
Yeah, but, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of team, a lot of players needed for a team for a start. So that, you know, you're getting a lot of players interested in American football. I mean, we've seen it blown up recently in the UK, but that takes time for people to actually start playing it. You know, these people are probably mostly going to be rookies going into it, probably with little or no experience at all. So it's great to see, you know, these guys going in and pretty much, you know, it's been 2 months since the start of the season and they're already getting off to a win. So I can only really clap them on the back really and say you've done a great job, because I don't think in most sports you'd be able to learn it for 2 months and then go out and get a victory quite like that.
Yeah, definitely a kind of convincing one as well against a obviously Chester first team as well. So that is big congratulations to the American football second team, and obviously we hope the first can kind of get their form back and take notice, because maybe some of those people in the second team will be pushing up into the first, who knows. But Joe, you kind of mentioned tennis, obviously.
I've got a couple of other results.
What's another standout team for you?
I've got a couple of standout results. Not so much teams, because I think we've really touched on most of the teams that have done well. A couple of results. One was a win and one was a loss. So the win was for the men's first against Loughborough's first. A 13-1 win in lacrosse, which I thought. And the women's actually also won against Loughborough first. There's two wins against Loughborough, which we always love to see. We talked about it pretty much every week about how it's always against them. But unfortunately, the rugby union, which is a sport that UON has been massively catching up on in the last few seasons, unfortunately, to Trent, and they've gone and they've unfortunately lost 61-7, which is quite a heavy defeat. And that, yeah. I just thought, you know, that's another one. We always look out for the key fixtures against Trent, because it's not so much a preview, because there's so much different pressures and stuff associated with varsity. But it's nice to see from a sports fan and, you know, a pundit, in air quotes, I don't know if I go far to call myself a pundit, but, you know, to analyse and, yeah, exactly, to predict what's going to happen in those kind of games. So I just like, you know, if you are following up with the Bucks results, you want to, I mean, there's no bets for varsity, but, you know, if you want to make a bet with friends, maybe bet on...
We can't condone gambling.
We can't condone gambling, but wouldn't it be sick if... You know what, I'm not going to say this on air. You know, if you're in, because we know so much, we could give, like, odds and stuff. It'd be great fun, but I'm probably not allowed to say that.
To give a bit of context to that game, obviously in last year's varsity, Trent did win the rugby union, but it was only 25-20.
Yeah, it was a close game.
And... obviously, compared to 61-7 this year, there's definitely work to be done, because, I tell you, if you turn up the varsity and lose by that margin, it's not going to be an enjoyable experience with the Trent fans.
Especially in rugby as well. I'd just like to say, maybe overall for the results, as you touched on earlier, like mostly they're cup fixtures, so it's really, like Callum said as well, it's kind of really hard to read in exactly into what has come this week in terms of the overall outcomes because of the seedings and stuff. So I think that... I didn't notice that immediately. This sounds stupid when I looked at the overall results, but I think it puts it into a better light. I think maybe I'm a man who prefers a league victory over a cup victory, but you know, I think because some sports like volleyball,
you prefer a league victory over a cup victory. You support Liverpool?
Oh, God's sake! Well, we'll see at the end of the season, won't we, mate? We'll see at the end of the season. But, you know, in sports like volleyball, where the lower teams that do usually really, really well didn't do so well, was probably, you know, in the cup fixtures and the cup seedings and stuff. So
that is true, to be fair. If we look at volleyball, 5 games, only 1 win, and that was the men's second. All the other teams losing. And to be fair, volleyball this season has been one of the teams where... we've always come down to the bottom of the list because it's the alphabetical order, but then we've always had positive things to say because they've been in good form. So that probably does those kind of cup games against higher opposition maybe explaining their poorer week than usual. But if we look at another team, I would say they've been one of the most consistent teams this season so far, Hockey. Only 5 games this week compared to be fair, they usually have about at least 8.
A lot of teams.
But 4 wins out of 5 and a lot of cup victories. What's your standout of those 4 victories, Joe?
It's difficult to say. I think I think probably the women's thirds against Newcastle seconds, because Newcastle are, and it was 5-0 as well, a victory for them. And Newcastle, as we know, are pretty, they're not like Durham, Loughborough, like that level, but they are a really good team when it comes to sport. And it's in the higher cup as well, because there's the Conference Cup and there's the Trophy Cup, and there's also, I think, a conference plate for certain levels of division. Yeah. So they're, you know, being a third team and in the Trophy Cup, did I say second or third team? And I've completely lost it. Thirds, exactly. Thirds being in the Trophy Cup and then getting a victory is really impressive for me.
Yeah, definitely. If you come into the Cup as a lower team and you're beating whoever you're up against, it's very impressive, especially when you see a lot of other teams failing in this kind of regard. If we move to football, which is kind of... it's never really been a strong point for the University of Nottingham, compared to some other universities or compared to other sports we dominate in. And they've had 4 wins out of 7, but it's, if you look at like the men's first, second and thirds, all losing in the Cup, I wouldn't say convincingly, actually. Well, the first was convincingly. The seconds and thirds had kind of exciting games of 6-4 and 3-2. But it's still not kind of as solid as you expect. You can't be conceding 6 goals and expecting to go through in the Cup. So do you think football is probably one of the main sports that the next kind of era kind of or project is to improve at this university?
Yeah, because it's right, particularly when it comes to sort of the box standings at the end of the season, you can get the biggest improvements from doing that, from taking a team that's kind of, or a sport that's kind of bad, and making it okay, as opposed to, because you go from good to great, we'll get you a little bit points-wise, but the big gains will come from, okay, we're not very good at this, let's make it not terrible, which would be then the next step for football team.
Yeah, and we've seen this in the past of the University of Nottingham with, obviously, the tennis centre, or the facilities, David Ross, you know, they've had little few-year projects of what they want to improve at the university, and that's had effects on the kind of results. But they haven't really had one for football yet. It's a bit different with the kind of facilities-wise. It might have to be maybe getting different maybe coaches or kind of actually scouting full on, try and go for scholarships of the kind of strong players. But that could potentially be their next little project to kind of focus on for the next few years. But if we go to futsal, which is probably one of the most impressive sporting things for the university, because it's not a it's an emerging sport, but we were one of the first universities to kind of found the club, and now we do, I think we're in the men's first in the top division now, and you know, the club, if you look at it, there's so many teams, it's kind of it's like very impressive as a club, and they've had 3 wins out of 5 week. What's your verdict on their week?
There's another one where their losses are coming to first team, so it's not the end of the world, but it's, you can see how much of a big club it is here, because it's the lowest sort of ranked team they played against was someone's thirds, whereas we have a fourth and a fifth at the very least in the women's, in the men's and the women's respectively, so it's that strength and depth coming up.
Yeah, I don't think many other unis would have kind of 5 teams in the futsal, and it's definitely something that the university is pushing. I don't know, you remember you were commentating at the futsal varsity last year, and they kind of made a real big deal out of making it a kind of big spectacle. I think it was one of the last events. They spent a bit of money on certain features for the kind of players to come out with, and they had big crowds on either side. So it is one they are really focusing on, and Joe, it was a great game that you actually commentated on.
Yeah, they've clearly invested a lot of money into the sport. Yeah, I mean, if you were there, you saw it on the day, you know, the, as you said, the players coming out to, you know, really like over-the-top sort of American-style entrance music and stuff. Yeah, they had a ton of one.
That was unfortunately a director of football, tipping it down the drain.
And they also have been investing heavily in scholars and those that are in the England setup. We have, I think last year there was at least 4 players who were in the England setup at a number of levels. I think 2 in the senior squad, 1 in the under-20s and 1 in the under-19s, which is really, really impressive for us. And I think Trent only had 1 person who was even in the English setup at all. I think that's really important. I think they've decided that futsal can be a very popular sport, and I think that's a really good idea from Nottingham, because it is so high paced and high pressure. Like the game that we had, we were really lucky that it was such a great game in the men's, because I think Trent were something like 4-0 up and they ended up losing like 6-5 or something.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong. And I think UN scored 5 goals without reply in the second half, which was absolutely crazy. But just the way, because it's such a small pitch in terms of it's really narrow and not that far in terms of just from one goal to the other, so it has to be really high pressure in those tiny situations. It's all about ball control and finding that tiny amounts of space, and it's where the goalkeeper can be part of the team making runs, you know, towards the goal and stuff. You know, this is a really crazy sport in that regard, and I think UN are definitely seeing something that I think even like, you know, high level like Sky and stuff haven't seen, that this is like a really up and coming sport that maybe they should be promoting a little bit more. So pat on the back to the guys in the UN sports office that have made this happen, because it is a really great sport and you can go see it whenever you want. And I really do encourage people to go and see a varsity, because I think I'm definitely going to be there, and I really really enjoyed it last year.
Yeah, I think I had the best job last year, because I was on the stats and facts and I was just sat in the crowd watching it, celebrating every goal kind of thing.
Well, you can actually go on to Apple Podcasts, Audioboom, or wherever, and actually listen to the commentary of that. And I wouldn't encourage it, because it's quite long, but if you find...
It's quite long, and it was ages ago.
Yeah, well, if you just, you can, there's a moment where you can find me having almost a breakdown as we score the fifth and final goal. So if you want to go over and see that, or listen to that, go on to Audioboom.
Yeah, obviously, only November, and we're looking forward to varsity. It's been another great event. Moving back to this week's Bucks results, golf have continuing their kind of resurgence in the last couple of years. 2 wins out of 3 this week. The one loss did come against Loughborough, which is disappointing. But for the Ferds to beat Trent firsts in the cup as well, that is a big win for them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always nice being Trent, isn't it? Like, I mean, you can't really say it's fairer than that, and especially their first as well. Again, another varsity preview possibly. If the men's third to beat Trent's first, we have a lot better chance this year. Because I remember, I'm pretty sure Uniov did win it last year, but I think it was a lot closer game than maybe that result suggests. So that should be another interesting one where you might want to back your money on golf. I think they won Thursday Sports Show's Team of the Year last year as well, but they've not started as well this year.
But I think American football came second in that, and they've not started well either.
It's a curse.
It's a curse, yeah.
Every team will be praying that we don't pick them as Team of the Year this year. But I feel like, this is just me, or do we play Loughborough a hell of a lot more than any other university?
Yeah, I don't know how they do the fixtures.
Probably in the same division as in them for more things than we are with other teams.
Yeah, I don't know if it's they do it on like Midlands, right?
Oh, yeah, of course
they
do.
Yeah, it's in the same area, and then we're going to be in the same division.
Yeah, because if we have a team in the top division, they do, and then second, and then it goes down and down. Okay, that's been explained to me. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, divisions.
It makes it easier when we're like trying to see maybe who's on top, especially when we don't actually have it, because Bucks Play won't release it. The overall
Bucks
scores.
Bucks Play going for the full-on release on the last day of the season. It's
to be fair,
to figure out where we are.
That would be hilarious. All I can imagine at the moment, they just haven't bothered, and then 2 days before, they're going to be like, oh, God, we're going to have to count them all up.
Apparently, it does not function well for the teams either, so it's not just us.
Yeah, so we can't get into trouble complaining because we still use it. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure they needed to change the thing, to be honest. But
this is to you, Bucks Play.
Yeah, Bucks Play, if you're listening, what were you playing at?
Let's not go back to another media law course, please.
Moving on, last few results we'll go into before quick break before our last part of the show. Fencing, they, in terms of the whole club, 7 games played, only 4 wins. But if you look at men's seconds, they had 3 games and they won all 3 of them. So, I mean, that's probably a standout for them this week.
Yeah, I'm guessing that was a meet type deal given they're all away, so it'll probably be a bunch of teams at one place.
Yeah, so if that's the case, that's, you know, that'd be like back to back kind of game as well, so that's very impressive.
And a couple of them were very clear cut as well. If you look at the scores, you've got a couple where it's 134 to 103 and 135 to 74 in a couple of them. So.
Yeah, but also 119,
116. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I think that's quite common in fencing to have sort of more like a tournament set up because it is, because they don't last like a really long amount of time fencing matches, to be honest. It's better if you play them all together.
Okay, now we'll go for our final sport. We'll end on a pretty good note with badminton.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
won 7 games out of 8 and majority of them in the cup. And would you say men's first and women's first, both beating Durham first, are probably the biggest wins there?
Yep.
Yeah. And then also, so you got to say, with the women's fourths losing in the cup, it was to Cambridge's first. So it's not, that's not
yeah,
too...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
That's not exactly something to be ashamed about.
And there's a couple of 8-0 wins in there. You know, we beat Loughborough's third 8-0 and Trent's second's 8-0 in the women. So you can't really say fair on that. Badminton, again, surging to more victories. They've been a real ambassador for the uni.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if men's can get to Bucks Big Wednesday this year, because having been there for the badminton the last couple of years, it's been the women doing it, not the men. So it'll be interesting to see if they can qualify for that.
Yeah, and they've started the season really well as well. Like I'm struggling to remember them losing a game.
No, very good week from badminton. Welcome back to the Thursday Sports Show. Before the break, we were talking about all the results from Bucks this week, but now we're going to move on to a club of sport we've not really talked about much so far this year on the Thursday Sports Show, and that's the Nottingham Panthers ice hockey team. There's not been the start of the season / performances we've been expecting and seeing in the last few years. They're currently sat only one place above the relegation zone on 15 points. How would you assess their start to the season, guys? Because they are down there, but they're only 8 points off first place, and first place play 2 more games, so it can change very quickly in ice hockey.
Yeah, I mean, you said it right. They haven't had the start to the season that maybe we would have been expecting. 7 wins and 7 losses, putting them in 7th place. But as you said, games in hand really do matter. They've had two really long and grueling cup campaigns as well. That has definitely had an effect on their playing performances, and they've done really well in both of those. But ice hockey is a sport where there's not an outstanding or out and out winner like in a lot of other sports, where the winner will get like, you know, most wins, maybe like 2 losses. It's a much more, because it's such a small sport, it's a lot closer in terms of the levels of ability. So, you know, there's still a long way to go in the season, so they definitely have chance enough to claw back and get into the playoffs and maybe have a chance of winning it, or at least getting into Europe. I think it was literally a few days ago, I can't remember the exact day, unfortunately, they actually beat Sondre Jyske, what was it?
My guess was Sondreska.
Yeah, that's it. Sondreska ice hockey. Yeah. They beat them 4-2.
Last week they had 3 European games in a row.
Yeah, and they are through now to the super final in January, which is like a 4-team, basically it's a 4-team league. And that team that Callum just said, because I'm not going to pronounce it again, are also in that, and we know that we can beat them in that 14 league to see who's going to win the super final, as I said. So they've got a really, really good chance of winning that competition. That would be really good for British ice hockey, for a British team to win the European competition.
Yeah, definitely. And that final will be in the 10th to 12th of January next year.
It's really cheap tickets as well.
And obviously it's Nottingham Panthers. Neman Grodno from Belarus. That team, Callum just said, from Denmark, Cracovia, Krakow from Poland, obviously. So it is a very European contest there.
European competition.
Equivalent of Europa League, as you said before.
And they're also Eastern European, or mostly Eastern European or Scandinavian. Countries which, one, are very cold, and two, the sport is not, it's not huge in those countries, but it's definitely bigger than it is in the UK. The UK, I imagine it's like the 10th biggest sport or something, probably even lower than that. You know, it's not something that we really focus on, whereas in those countries it really is a bit higher, and they're not so good at maybe the more conventional sports. So it's definitely, you know, a massive achievement. We're the only British team, as we basically just said, who's in Europe at the moment, so it's really good for that reason.
So do you think this kind of campaign, and also the other cup campaign, which we'll come on to in a minute, has maybe impacted on their league form?
The sheer number of fixtures kind of helped. And that might be, and also might be why they're behind in terms of games played. I mean, if you look at the teams ahead of them, you got two on 17 games played, you've got one on 18, you've got another on 16. So that might be why they're behind in that. Because they've had to play those continental World Cup
games. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because they had all three of those group games last week on the Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So that's obviously missing out on games that other teams that aren't in those competitions are playing. And yeah, you're right. It's already congested enough with ice hockey because they usually play Saturday. Like this week, they're playing Sheffield, Steelers on the Saturday and then Manchester Storm on the Sunday. So it is a very congested fixture list, let alone without adding this kind of European campaign onto it.
Yeah, I imagine that, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, I should have looked this up before I came in, but I imagine some of them at least will have been away from home, which means that, you know, there's long trips.
All those are away.
Yeah, exactly, there are long trips. Like, they're not exactly next door neighbours, are they, the countries? Like, there's a large difference, you know what I mean?
It went the logical route, you're going France, Hungary, Denmark, but it's still,
you know, quite far away.
It's like the Interrail, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that even in itself takes more of a mental and also a physical toll, but also a really big mental toll that you have to then, you know, you've won, but then you have to immediately get up, go to this new game, prepare yourself for that game, get up, go to a different country, prepare yourself for that game. You know, it's really, really tiring for athletes at you know, the peak of their performances. I imagine quite a lot of them aren't even, you know, they are professionals, but they probably have other ways in which they need to support themselves, maybe part-time jobs, etc. So they have to do that kind of thing in the week as well. You know, so they have to get time off and stuff. So it's a really big commitment for these guys, and I think it's really, as I said before, it's a great thing for ice hockey, for the country. You know, it's made its way onto BBC Sport this week, which is really big for it, because it hasn't been on BBC Sport, as far as I've noticed, for a long time, since that famous European Cup run they went on a couple of years ago. But before that, they haven't really had a look in terms of the sports, when other maybe sports we wouldn't associate with Britain also have got into there. So I think for them, now, I mean, I don't know, but I imagine the European journey is going to be a lot better, because they have had a lot of success at the domestic level.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously going on to the domestic cup, the Challenge Cup they're in, it's been interesting, ice hockey, because obviously there's 10 teams in the top division, and all 10 of them go into this cup in three different groups. So Nottingham Panthers are second in their group of three, which make the top two go through, but they basically just keep playing these same teams, Sheffield Steelers and Manchester Storm, who they've got at the weekend in the... They're playing them in the league.
Yeah, they're playing them in the league, yeah.
So they obviously know their games well, but they're joint top of that on 10 points, with Manchester Storm 4 points below. So, yeah. Obviously, what do you think it'd be like coming in? Obviously, we're not used to this. We're more of a kind of football, rugby kind of sports. Playing the same team kind of constantly in this kind of cup competition, how do you think they kind of deal with it? And how do you think you'd feel playing in it?
I mean, surely after a while they get bored.
Mm.
Because it's always where, yeah, you get to know the other teams better in terms of their style and all that, but like, after a while you just want something different.
Well,
especially when they're also teams you have in the league,
yeah.
I don't watch a lot of ice hockey, but it doesn't seem like a lot of the time. I don't want to say organised chaos, but they're in a match. No two same events realistically happen. There's a lot of difference in between the games. So I imagine, yeah, you can play Manchester Storm three times, but they're going to be, I think, three pretty much on the whole completely different games. As Callum said, you get to learn the style, but apart from that, it's not. I don't think it's realistically going to be that similar. I mean, I think that's applicable to all sports, to be fair. You know, in cricket, you play five games in a row against these teams, but they're very rare is other games exactly the same or even that similar. So I don't think, maybe I'm being a cynic, but I don't think it's going to be that.
Yeah, because it's the difference where it's a case of doing it since August. Since the start of September, they've played these teams 8 times in the cup, and then however many they played in the league. So it's the time frame, I guess I'd almost say, is where it's got to be getting bored.
Yeah, I don't know, but these guys are athletes, they don't care, they're just going to, I feel like they're just going to, you know, turn up, it doesn't matter who they're playing, they're going to try their absolute hardest to beat them. It might even help, you know, if they get to know these other teams, you know, they get to be friends with them. I mean, I want to beat my friends much more than I'd want to beat people that I've never met before. Maybe that's just me. So you can get almost bragging rights if you beat them a lot, or if you haven't, then you get almost rematches against them. So I don't really see that too much as an issue. But in the Challenge Cup, they're at, yeah, as you said, they're second in the group. They played 8 games. Now, I looked this up just now because it really confused me, because some of them teams have only played 6 games. Last year, the winners only played 6 games in the group.
Yeah, well, the Group A has got 4 teams in it, so I don't know if that's what... Obviously, they play less games, yeah, but I don't know how that works in the end.
So it seems like Group A, I would guess, they've done home and away once for everyone, and Groups B and C, I don't know well.
I imagine they're playing home and away twice. I guess...
Yeah, this is the end of group stages.
Yeah, so they're pretty much... Unless I mean horrific. Yeah, they've gone through, basically. And
now there's 7 teams have gone through into the next round. I don't know how that's going to work. Is that another table going on?
Maybe someone gets a bye?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did literally just look this up, and there's a quarterfinals and a semifinals, which suggests that 8 teams go through. But, I mean, you have to look into that. Surely it's the top 3 from Group A, and then it's the top
2 from the other 2.
There's only 2 other groups.
Oh, mad. Mad. I don't know. Maybe it's the better loser then goes through. But that means only two team.
That's the thing.
That's true. But
well, yes, you move on. I mean,
why are we talking about something we don't know?
What we do know.
Panthers have a decent shot at this title.
They're still fighting for this title.
They are still fighting. They've won it 8 times before, which is the most of any team.
And they've still got a good shot getting into the playoffs at the end, which I hear, which can only help.
Yeah, exactly, the home advantage.
Yeah, there's still a long way to go in this season. I mean, they could still get could win the 2 cups, yeah, and they could get into the playoffs.
Yeah,
so
that's the thing. I'm pretty sure that the finals weekend is in April or something like that, so there's a lot of season left to go.
Yeah. I think, but the problem is the biggest team over the past couple of seasons I've definitely seen, especially in the cup, are the Belfast Giants, and they're a very good team. So I think look out for that fixture against Panthers to see maybe where Panthers fit in the league.
Yeah, definitely. Now just look at the next few fixtures before we wrap up. So obviously they've got these on the Saturday and Sunday. They play Sheffield, Manchester away. Then they play Glasgow away on the 29th of November. But if we look at their next home game, their next 2 home games are on Sunday the 1st December and Wednesday the 4th December. Guess who those 2 games are against?
Sheffield
and Manchester. But yeah, so if those obviously at home at the Moat Point Arena, you can book tickets now for them.
I think they're only at 5 or 10 or something.
It's
yeah,
not much.
Yeah, it's good. It's good value for. It's always going to be an exciting game, ice hockey. Like even if it's
probably the best spectator sport you've got going.
Yeah, definitely. And on a Sunday at 4 o'clock, I mean, what else are you doing? What else are you doing?
maybe a few bit harsh on the listeners here.
No, it's Sunday. It's a Sunday relaxing night. You might as well do some of it. Go out to the Moat Point Arena.
I further found the results when we played Belfast Giants, by the way. Notts Panthers lost 3-0 away, and then I don't think we've played them at home yet. I'm just looking. No, we have played them at home.
But we'll also play them again in February.
Yeah, so we played them away, lost 3-0, played them at home, won 4-1. And that's what I mean by anyone can beat anyone. You know, that's the classic cliche in like every single league, especially in football. Right?
I did it in ice hockey because it's supposed to be so much of it is about lucky bounces and it's a lot of scoring as opposed to getting a shot saved. It's just luck.
Yeah, there's not too many. You can't have a put on that master tactical plan that's going to work every time because anything can happen with like a deflection or a shot or something.
Yeah, just the nature of shooting this little bit of rubber at a quite small goal with a giant man in front of
you. Well, actually, that's a bit of a
miracle. Some goals get scored.
Yeah, that's a little segue into, I think, is it Guildford Flames? Is that the team that Petr Cech
yeah,
is currently
yeah.
in goal for? So that should be an interesting one. I think you should just go to Nottingham Panthers just to see. You know, I'm thinking about it, just to see Petr Cech in goal. I think that should be really interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot more
fuss
than it should have been.
Wow, way to put a damper on that.
He's had extreme since he was a young child.
Yeah, well, it's just like, yeah, he's from the Czech Republic. He played goalie and he played ice hockey as a kid. The biggest thing you need to be able to do is transfer from playing football going to ice hockey goalie is not escape.
I think it's more that he was...
He played it in charity games in the past as well.
I think it's more that he's a Premier League guy in football, superstar, who's come... not to disrespect ice hockey, to come play in Guildford to play ice hockey.
Guildford's a great player. I saw Luis Figo was in Guildford the other week for some reason.
this is the Guildford podcast now, guys.
Yeah, it's close. It's the closest bit of ice to South London, which is presumably where he lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's got a new job at Chelsea now, hasn't he? So.
Well, that game's in the Motorpoint Arena on Sunday the 8th of December at 4 o'clock. And as Will said, you're not doing anything, so why don't you just turn up? You might be able to get an autograph of Petr Cech, who knows?
Okay, but yeah, on that note, we're going to end this week's show. Thank you to Joe and Callum for joining me, and thanks to Joe from Athletics that we spoke to earlier.